Blog Talk Radio.
Shelly Nunchuck Show with my furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty. You people don't even understand what my cat does to me. Every time I'm trying to get ready for the show, she starts acting like a ninja, and I have to literally, I have a little water squirt bottle because she wants to go and chew on the electronic wires, and I think that she knows the stuff that I'm using, and she wants attention, and here I am trying to get ready for the show, and my cat gets all crazy. I guess because she wants attention, you know, she was a stray animal that I had taken in, and, you know, I gotta love her. She keeps me company, and I love her very much, and I wouldn't trade her for anything in the world. But anyway, before I get to the heart of the show, like I do, I like to give back because I am getting a bigger voice. And with that, I give Stan Lee and maybe other people have mentioned this, that, you know, with a big voice, you know, with power comes great responsibility. So I like to give back and things that touch my heart. Now, one of the big things that have happened, big devastation in the Philippines, I wanted to try to find a page where I can let people know where you can go to donate. And this crisis is really, truly tremendous. And it's actually on a Facebook page. It's for the Filipino Spirit is Stronger. It's American Red Cross. And you can go there. It says 100% of the funds raised through Facebook will go to the American Red Cross. All of the donations will be provided by the American Red Cross to the Red Cross groups that are working on the typhoon response. The Philippine Red Cross has been leading this response effort, aiding with search and rescue immediately after the disaster, providing shelter, food, and water, and distributing relief supplies. However, as we mentioned earlier, this has truly been a global response effort. Specialized emergency response teams from Red Cross societies across the globe are moving into the affected area to assist. This includes teams with expertise in logistics, disaster assessments, shelter, health, water, and sanitation. And this doesn't just affect, humans. There's also a lot of, distressed animals, the pets and such. They have to go and look for them too. And, there's many things that are affected in devastations like this. So one of the places where I looked was the American Red Cross there that is helping out the Philippines. And you can actually go there, like I said, to help donate to the Philippines. You can go to the American Red Cross, and you can look it up. And like I said, it's 100% is actually going there. And there's actually been, I guess, a thing that's been going around on Facebook. It says, donate now to emergency relief in the Philippines. Send $10 to the American Red Cross to help those affected by the typhoon. And you can click donate, and it'll give you instructions how to donate funds there. Okay, the next one I wanted to bring up, and I've been watching this board for quite a few years now, and it's truly a wonderful, wonderful foundation because it was actually made by, I think it's triplets, and they want to help animals. And for me personally, I've loved animals my whole life. It's something in my heart. Sometimes I just can seem to relate more to animals, and I've been around animals my whole life. And this board here, it's called the Hendricks Board, H-E-N-D-R-I-C-K Boards. It's on Facebook, and this is growing. And its brothers, I think they went to skateboarding. It says here, I'm going to bring up their about section. And like I said, I've been watching this personally. It's been on for a couple years. It's been founded in June of 2011. And it says, eco-friendly skateboards, longboards, men's apparel, women's apparel, accessories, and more that help raise funds for local animal rescues and shelters. And it says about the page, the Hendrick Boards, we are brothers who started an apparel and skateboard company dedicated to saving the lives of animals. We support a network of over 150 animal nonprofit shelters and sanctuaries. And if you go there, I mean, just to give you fair warning, they show the before pictures because they find the animals, and then the ones that do make it, they do show after. And it's just, so it's a fair warning. It's really hard to look at, but the after photos, it is worth it when you give it to it because I have been seeing that the money is actually going towards these animals. They have been helping them out. And you can buy T-shirts, many different things. And the one that caught my attention, I almost wanted to cry. There's one here I'm trying to find out. It's called Nero. And I guess the puppy was Burns. And it says, the poor thing was set on fire. A seven-week-old puppy loses both ears because of his thanks to burns on entire face and back. So they're trying to save this puppy, and that's what they're doing. They're rescuing animals. So, it is a good page, just fair one. Sometimes the pictures are graphic if you go there. I mean, it is a public page, but it is a wonderful, wonderful page. And like I said, I have been watching this for the past few years. You can go to Hendrick Boards, H-E-N-D-R-I-C-K Boards, to donate there. And I think I had one more to read about. Yes. I will get to the big topic in one second. Also, too, there's something that I'm a very big part of. And I've been telling everybody about this. And just to let you know, I've been working in indie films, and I have to give props being in, the whole show tonight is dedicated to stunt men and stunt women. And I'm representing the stunt community because I truly believe they deserve so much respect. And I've heard about, years ago, the stunt people, they wouldn't even be able to talk about their work. And I was just so flabbergasted when I heard about that because they couldn't really say what they were doing and they had to hide it. And I'm sitting here going, Wow. Imagine acting, doing something that's your work, and you can't really talk about it because you have to make the actors look good. Well, I know it's changed a lot over the years, but there's something I'm going to tell you guys in a second that I am part of. But the other one thing that I am truly part of, it's the Falcyr Fundraiser. It's F as in Frank, A-L-C-Y-Y-R, Fundraiser. And I'm blessed to be able to be part of this, to be a lead. And it's just to be part of something, you know, a superhero. And it's four women from four different time periods, and I play like the, I Ruby the Riveter, that's my time period, because I do have that Bostonian accent, so they had to fit me into a certain, you know, time period, and we come from different time periods, and we're whisked away, and we have to train. And of course, every time my show goes on, there's a siren that goes down the street. After I hear it when my show's archived, there it goes, the siren. And I was like, I pray that everyone's safe, but nothing's bad here. If you hear the sirens, nothing's bad at my house. It just seems to happen. Every time I'm live on there, a siren goes by. I don't live in a bad area. It's just that it's just like one of those things. And, you know, I hope everything's safe to wherever that siren's going. But to get back to Falcyr, it's something we've been working on for quite some time. And as a lot of you people know, independent films, it comes out of the pocket of the people that are making the film. We don't have a big budget, and we're trying so hard. And a lot of independent people, you have to work a full-time job, you know, and like Director Z, Horace Zakora Deliza, he runs a school. It's metaphysical, martial arts, many different things, classes. It's something where he runs the school. And then, you know, Saturdays, we've been doing it for a full year. Now, big budget films, they can film within 3 to 6 months. But what we have to do, we have to film on Saturdays. And let me tell you, we've filmed in snow up to our knees. Oh, my God, it's so cold up here in Maine. And I'm going, you know, I really hate filming in the snow. But for the sake of this film, I am going to help finish it. And it's really a lot of hard work. But the good thing is we're going to have a teaser trailer soon. You're going to see me in some gear and the other girls, and it's just a teaser trailer. I can't wait. I'm very excited. And if anyone would like to give, believe me, from the bottom of my heart, it would be so much appreciated. We would appreciate donations so much. This would help us out like you would not believe. We are in need of funds. And if you go, I actually posted on my Facebook page, Falcyr Fundraiser, you can go and you can donate there. If you're shy and you're giving donations, you can actually leave anonymous. So you can do that. But anyway, people, tonight, the height of my show. I have to go back and forth. I do everything on the show myself. I come home. No, I'm literally not kidding. I get out of work. I got to come home. And I'm networking with people to get onto my other show. And I'm trying to get ready, get into the shower, get this going. I'm going to make sure the cat's not chewing on the wires to the computer and stuff here. So here I am, you know, going back to my Facebook page. Like I said, I'm running everything myself. Maybe someday I'll have an assistant right now. I could do the best I can. And there's something that I'm trying very hard to do, because from the bottom of my heart, I would like to get a building to help out for all this memorabilia that's been collected over the years by John G. Hagner, who's been a stuntman for many years. The man is 85 years old, and he's been working for decades. He's the founder of, I want to make sure I'm saying this right, Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame. And I came on board as an advisor for the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. Now, there's many, many things, much memorabilia, and, you know, it comes from, you know, past from many decades. Me as a newer generation, I, you know, grew up watching stunt people. And I know people that, you know, if you're able to save things, especially stuff they've seen, and it's not something for me, I love stunt things. I've never wanted to be Bobby. I've always wanted to be a ninja. You know, and for me growing up, I want to say thank you from the bottom of my heart, the stunt people, the martial arts people, because for me, watching your work has always uplifted me so much, ever since I was a little kid. And for you guys to do these crazy, crazy stunts, you know, putting your body out there and practically almost getting yourself killed, you know, you got to really think about it. Anybody that does it, they're not normal. You got to be kind of crazy to be doing these stunts. Bless you guys and women. And, yes, I know there's animals that do stunts, but for you men and women out there, thank you so much. Your films have inspired me, and I'm an underdog. You know, I talk kind of funny. I'm like Rocky, you know, from Boston, you know, lived in the inner cities around stuff of Boston. And let me say to the stunt men and women out there and martial artists, you people have helped to keep me on my track. Your films have inspired me so much. I love you people so much. And in my own way, I hope somehow, I do not know, I'm asking for donations, though, and it's actually on my page, and the, you know, the CEO, the founder, John G. Hagner, is the one that's, you know, that is running it, and he has, you know, he lives out there in Utah, and he has everything in storage, and we're looking for a building, for a museum for the Sun community, you know, not just from the past, but for the present and the future generations. I want to feed these things and show all the great women and men. I mean, I know so many of them. I've watched their films, and I just want to honor them. And that's what I really want to do. And, you know, I mean, there's just no words that I could say. I mean, I could say thank you. I could go on and on about this, but I love your work. You know, I know you guys train so hard, your blood, your sweat, your tears. And believe me, after doing a fight scene and bouncing off the ground the first time, this was over a couple years ago, and I hit the ground where I did not expect it, and I went, when I hit the ground. I didn't have any pads, but I hit the ground. I was doing a fight scene. And that made me realize, I mean, I respect you guys so much more. But that first fight scene, when I got thrown and hit the ground, and I got up, I go, oh, my gosh, this really hurts. It gave me more of a profound effect on me, on my spirit, realizing, these people really work hard. And I'm just doing indie films. And it's got to be grueling for the stunt people out there. They're working almost 12 hours a day, and then they got to go home or, you know, wherever their trailer, wherever they're staying, and back the next day for another 12 hours. And they're crazy, doing these crazy stunts, these death-defying stunts. Even though, granted, I want to jump off a building someday. I'm like, you got to be kind of nuts. You got to live for the moment. You got to take the bull by the horns. But what the show is about tonight is to raise funds for a new building for the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame. Any of you stunt people out there, you martial artists, you got to give from your heart. This is stuff for you guys. It's to keep your memories alive of your films for future generations. That's why I really, truly want to get some building. I don't know if it's going to be in, I don't know where the place is going to be yet. All I'm doing is just start. This is just the baby step to get the word out there that we're looking for funds. And it's something where, I don't know if it's going to be in Utah. I don't know if it's going to be in California. I don't know where the place is going to be at. We're just trying to get funds for the building. And like I said, there's so much memorabilia from over the years. And believe me, because I'm a younger generation, I do know a lot about stunts and fight scenes. I grew up on this stuff. This is my realm. This is the Shelly Nunchuck's realm, the stunt community. They're my people. And I love these people so much from the bottom of my heart. I have to tell you that. So if you can give, you know, I mean, it will be truly appreciated. You can go to a couple places and you can write to John. He is the go-to man. And it's Falling for Stars. You can go to that page, and actually, John is an artist. Yes, he's many things. Besides the stunt person, I'm actually bringing up the Falling for the Stars page on Facebook. I'm trying to see if I can actually see. I know before I had found some of his work, but he's actually an artist. Yes, when you go for Falling from the Stars, Falling, F-A-L-L-I-N-G, for F-O-R, stars, S-T-A-R-S, on Facebook, you're going to see, scroll down. This man is so unbelievably talented as an artist. I am not kidding. You guys have got to see this Facebook page. He's got, first one that I'm bringing up, it's actually the original Spartacus. It's Kirk Douglas. It's a drawing. It's Artist of the Stars. I think that's what the title for all his drawings are. It shows many different people. It shows he drew John Wayne and also Katharine Hepburn. And these prints are available for a donation to the Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. So when you go to Falling for Stars, like the page. I guarantee you, I will swear on my life, when you go to see John's work and you see the pictures that he's drew, you guys are going to be blown away. And I know I'm so overzealous with things. You guys really got to see this. Go to Falling for Stars, on the Facebook page. Just view down. You guys are going to be blown away. I am not kidding. I'm actually looking at this Facebook page for the Falling for the Stars. Remember, this is going to be donations towards the building. And it shows another one. I mean, he does many, many different ones here. There's one, actor Jack Palance in a scene from City Slickers 2, portrait painting by John Hagner, artist of the stars. Prints are available mounted on a 16x20 mat board. Make a donation to the Hollywood Stuntmen's Hall of Fame for $45 plus $6.50 for shipping. And it gives the information there, or you can even call him. But I think he might draw you something, but this man is so unbelievably talented. So go to Falling for Stars. I don't know if there's a Facebook, maybe Artist of the Stars. Let me bring this up, but believe me, the donations is going to go to something wonderful. It's going to help save and preserve the history of the stunt community. Let me see, Artist of the Stars. I wonder if that's what I would look up on Facebook. Artist of the Stars. Here we go, ladies and gentlemen. I'm actually going to post this right on my Facebook page as I'm talking about it. Give me one moment here. And I'm actually going to bring up the photos. And it shows, this is John's work. You guys, this is unbelievable. I mean, I do cartoons, like I do Stitch from Disney. This is wonderful work of art. You guys have got to see this Artist of the Stars. Because if you make a donation, not only are you going to get great artwork, you're actually going to be donating towards the building for the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame. So it shows John Wayne there. Who else is a Spartacus? I'm trying. See, this is an older generation. I recognize faces, but I don't know all the names. It shows them some cowboys. It shows Dolly Parton, James Dean. Ah, man, I used to have a crush on James Dean. There's many other people, John Wayne. I know who that is. I just have to bring up, yes, I know that Alan Alda. I mean, you guys have got to see this. Seriously, see his pictures. James Dean, go to Artist of the Stars, A-R-T-I-S-T of the Stars. And if you, you know, just get in contact with John, request a, you know, for a painting, not painting, but it's a drawing. And, I mean, just look at it. Marilyn Monroe, Humphrey Bogart, Tom Selleck, Chuck Connors. I know this actor, Sam Elliott. There's a whole list. Kevin Costner. You guys will not believe this, but I swear you've got to go see Artist of the Stars. Just go and look at it on the Facebook page. The guy is amazing. And you stunt people out there, if you're listening, anybody out there, you guys want to help us preserve the community of the stunt peeps, you know, get a hold of me. I'm sure I can get in contact. I'm actually on board as board of advisors for the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame. So I am on board, and what I want to do, I want to give back. I don't know, you know, after the building is erected, I think they've had stuff in the past, but they had some ceremonies, I think, an opening ceremony. So maybe, you know, once the building's open, I know that's just a pipe thing, but once the building is open, you know, maybe there'll be some nice ceremony, but that would just be a dream come true to give back to all the people that I watched, you know, just to honor them. That's what I'd be so psyched about. And I just, you know, just growing up watching it, here I am as an adult. I mean, I'm not exactly like these people because these people have been, you know, in Hollywood and stuff and doing these things, but actually doing a little bit like the people that I've, you know, grown up watching. I always say I never wanted to be a Barbie. I've always wanted to be a ninja. And I love swords and stuff. And it's like, I feel very thankful from the bottom of my heart to people that are coming into my life. I just cannot believe it because 4 years ago, I never would have dreamed actually coming up in, was it this month? It was a Tuesday before Thanksgiving, Harvest Day. I had left Boston, and I just had no direction. It was not a really good time in life. I came up here 4 years later. I cannot believe how much my life has changed. I am so thankful, so much. All the guests that have been on my show, all these stunt people that are coming in my life, I feel like I'm dancing on the clouds. I can't even explain it. And they've been, these people that are so successful, here I am, you know, coming from a poor background in Boston, you know, being poor my whole life, you know, not given anything, but, you know, just trying to work and trying to get ahead like anybody else. You know, here I am, these people that are successful, sitting to me talking on my show, and they're telling me stories, you know, when they're working on a film, I just, like, I giggle like a little girl. I can't help it because I'm so excited. I'm just, I'm so joyful. And half the time, if you ever see that cartoon character, Homer Simpson, from The Simpsons, when he's excited about donuts and he puts his head back and his tongue is out and there's drool and he's going, oh, that's how I actually am when I'm listening to my guests, you know, talking to me about their stories. I don't even, I just want them to talk. And it's like, I don't have to converse, but I'm like, oh my gosh, they're here sitting to me telling me about films. And I was like, yeah, I've seen that film. And, you know, sometimes I watch films. I'm kind of obsessive in a way. And when I like something, I keep talking about it over and over again because that's my passion. That's what's inside. When you love something, you should share it with the world. I know sometimes I'm overzealous, but like I said, I want to give back from the bottom of my heart. And that's why I'm reaching out and I'm getting a bigger voice. Besides, you know, charities and foundations, I want to give back so much from the bottom of my heart to the stunt community. For the people that work, you know, and go through blood, sweat, and tears, their broken bones, you know, their bruises, their butts get sore, you know, they're in pain sometimes the night and they have to get back up and go to the film set the next day. They work their butts off. And that's why I hope this really, you know, I really hope from the bottom of my heart that people are going to give from your heart to help out the stunt community, get this building to help, you know, preserve the history of the stunt community. And I'm the younger generation, and the people that I grow up with watching their films, somehow, some way, I want to take a little piece of each of those stunt people and bring it into the Hall of Fame. I don't know if it's, you know, if you get something from a movie or something like that. I mean, I like ninjas. So you can imagine how much more, because I'm a younger generation and times change, you know, to show honor to keep doing that and to kind of, besides film, have a place where I can help immortalize the stunt men and women that are just so great. And I know there's many that I see in my eyes that I see, and I could go on for hours naming so many of them. And I have to say there's someone I call my ninja pal. You just say, don't call him great and stuff like that. But there's a really cool guy, Stephen Lambert. I call him my ninja pal. And I cannot believe, I mean, there's so many other people out there that I've been watching for years. And when he told me about some of the things he worked on, I'm telling you, I fall off my bed. I literally one time fell on the floor because when he was telling me about films, but I was like, wait, I seen that film, that was you? And every time he tells me another film, I go like, that's you? Because he played a ninja. I mean, this guy is absolutely nuts. But he's so down to earth. And I'm like, it just blows my mind that these people that are so successful, they're just so down to earth. I mean, you think, you know, you think out there that people that are successful, they wouldn't talk to, you know, little people like me, but it seems like they're reaching their hand out and they're helping to lift me higher, and I'm so very thankful from the bottom of my heart. I can't even tell. I could keep saying the word thankful, or in, I don't know if it's Chinese, if I can say this right, shishé. I actually learned that from a Jackie Chan film from Rush Hour. You know, yeah, I've watched so many Jackie Chan films. But I got to admit, though, about some martial arts films, I can't watch it anything dubbed. I mean, when I was younger, I was watching Kung Fu Theater, and it was, like, on Channel USA. And it was just, you know, as a kid, you can't figure things out what the heck was going on. You would see things that are dubbed, and the mouth didn't match, and I didn't know what the heck was going on. But in the stories, I didn't understand the stories. But when I saw the movements of the martial artists, I was like, oh, my gosh. And, you know, there I was. I wanted to do the stuff that was on the screens, and, yeah. I kind of did some crazy things when I was younger. I actually jumped out of a building, and I'm not telling any kid to do this because it was a building behind where I lived in Revere, Massachusetts, growing up. And we actually we were kind of crazy. There was a game we were playing. It was called Friday the 13th. This is how crazy we were. And I'm not saying to any kids to go out and do this, but there would be a kid who would walk around, he was quiet, and he would walk just like Jason in the movies, and he would carry a stick. Now, if he's not a hold of you, he could beat you with a stick. I know we sound so sadistic, but this is just sometimes kids are crazy. So if he got a hold of you, he could beat you. And this building was abandoned. It was like third floor, and it was all empty. And in the cellar, there was no bulbs or anything. And if Jason got a hold of you, he could lock you in the cellar. And this is a bunch of kids running around. So if you got up on the third floor, on the back porch, the only way to escape Jason is to jump off the third floor into two dirty mattresses from the garbage. It's just crazy things here. And I thought I was going to get a beating from my father. If he never found out that time, I probably would have got a beating of my life. So as you see, this things that I do. I was also in the 90s, there was a big fad in the 90s. I was a crazy rollerblader. I used to cause trouble in back home in Boston. And I lived in South Boston at the time. And I rollerbladed everywhere because you could go from South Boston all the way to Faneuil Hall. And at the time, it was kind of pretty fast. And I did really crazy things. I used to crash into cars, even on purpose. And now that I'm, like, the age that I am, I can kind of feel it now because I wouldn't wear any safety pads, so no helmets. And let me tell you kids out there, if you guys are listening to my show, you kids that are doing things, make sure you are wearing a helmet and pads because I'm telling you, I'm feeling it now. But I used to rollerblade going through Boston. And I wanted to go through the Boston Common, and then when you reach the public gardens, you're not supposed to rollerblade in the public gardens. I used to get chased by the cops through the public gardens, and they'd be like yelling at me. But I was incognito because I didn't have any. I had sunglasses on, my rollerblades. I had a hat on that was my Wayne's World hat. I don't know if you guys know what Wayne's World, but if you look it up, Wayne had this hat on, and it said Wayne's World on the hat. And I would just want to, like, rollerblade crazy downhills. I would go out at 2 o'clock in the morning and rollerblade down, up and down the hills. That's how crazy I was. So then, it's just, I used to get chased by the cops. It's just stuff. I was just a crazy thing. And rollerblading, doing all those stunts, I wasn't really into filming and such. It was just something that, you know, I just wanted to do. I had love for rollerblading, and I would go out in South Boston. There was a place called Castle Island, and there's a thing that goes up into the water, and it's called the Sugar Bowl. I would rollerblade, like, late into the night and rollerblade out to Castle Island and rollerblade around. It was beautiful going out there. I know kids don't do this yourself because it was, like, 2 o'clock in the morning, and I would skate. And this is crazy because this was Boston, but you know, rollerblading fast, I was pretty fast, and it was something that I loved at that time, and I've always had a passion. Like I said, it's too bad. Back then, I didn't get a chance to really do films because I think it would have been kind of nice if rollerblades, you know, catching me do some crazy things, but, you know, it seems like that's passé, given up the rollerblades, and, you know, seeing, you know, people do things in films, you know, it's really a lot of hard work. But to go back to the stunt community, listen, you people out there, you got to hear me. You got to hear me really good here. You got to give. You got to help me preserve the stunt people community, you know, something that would show future generations. You know, I know right now the people out there now, you know, because Jackie Chan, he's one of my idols, of course, and, you know, other people like Jet Li and other people. Not saying, because a lot of people like to call these people old. They're getting older. And I know that Jackie wants to do a lot of drama roles and stuff like that. And I'll always support Jackie Chan no matter what he does. I'll support his films and stuff. That doesn't bother me whatsoever. And it's just that, you know, maybe these people want to enjoy life more. Let them enjoy life. So, you know, the new generation, you know, coming up like Tony Jaa, I mean, he's, like, I think in his 30s now, and he's having, a film come out. I mean, there's so many other, you know, young people that are up and coming, and I'm going to try to keep up with them. And there's one kid, he's a kid to me, it's me. There's a couple of kids that I want to have on my show. There's one, he's in his 20s, but I've had Douglas Wong on my show before a couple times. Douglas is so cool, and he's so sweet, and it's just like, man, I don't think I'd ever want to get that guy mad. But Douglas Wong, the man himself, he's been training for so many years. He, you know, they have a school out there in California, and they train a lot of people. They train some of the stars. Douglas even trained Kevin Sorbo from Hercules, Lucy Lawless, which was Xena, and I got to tell you, there's such a weird connection in this world, in the universe, and I've been keeping asking to bring many people into my life. I says, let the successful ones come into my life because they're going to know what to do and, you know, this and that and teach me. Well, you know how they say this connection. This is really nice, and it's just so weird, and it's like it feels very special that I get to connect with the Sun people, but there's a film that I want to do, and I just don't have the money for it right now, and it's just an indie film. It's called The Dishwasher, my Jackie Chan-influenced film. I got the title of The Dishwasher from Dragon, Bruce Lee's story, because Bruce Lee, when he came to America, he was actually a dishwasher. And I remember in the scene, and this is how I got the title from my film, The Dishwasher, my Jackie Chan-influenced film. Bruce Lee's boss sat Bruce Lee down. Long story short, she told him, because he was working at a Chinese food restaurant, long story short, you know, if you don't, you know, pick a good path, she could always use a good dishwasher. And that's where I got the title for my film. And the coolest thing is, where I got the title for my film, I mean, that film itself, The Dragon of Bruce Lee Story, I injured myself so badly. I crippled myself for being stupid. And I didn't listen to my brother Z, my teacher. He says, you know, he just knows things. Don't go and do something. I went through something. I fell. I got hurt, and I got crippled for 3 days. And I thought I was never going to walk again. So there I was in bed for 3 days. And I felt such a schmuck. I was like, well, I didn't listen to brother Z. I didn't listen to him. So there I was. I didn't have money for surgery. And I says, my leg is never going to be the same. I was so, like, badly injured, I says, I don't have money to get an operation. So I was stuck in bed, and I couldn't go anywhere for 3 days. And what I did is put on Dragon Bruce Lee's story, and that just stuck with me. I watched it before, but I watched it so much, and I says, you know, if Bruce Lee was crippled that much, I'm going to heal myself, and I'm going to get up. It took me one full year because I didn't have money for an operation, and I'm able to walk again. It was so painful to walk around. I had to walk up, you know, wrap up my knee. On top of that, because I don't have a car, when I went to work in the morning, I had to be in work at 6 o'clock in the morning. I live in Maine, and it's not like, you know, it's different from Boston, and there I was. I had to be in work at 6 o'clock in the morning. It took me an hour and a half to walk to work to get to work at 6 a.m. There I was, and it was like it's getting colder in Maine, and I'm walking on this part of this highway to get to work every morning, you know, and thinking, even in that time, you know, trying to heal my leg, I was watching Dragon the Bruce Lee story. Now, here's the connection. Douglas Wong helped to teach Jason Scott Lee from the Bruce Lee story. And I found that, I was like, what? That's like one of my favorite films. So it's like the universe is connecting me with people. So this is what I mean about films, that connections and stuff. And this is why, do you see, can you understand why I want to give back to the stunt people community? Because it just seems like my whole entire life, I've been a schmuck. I've been such a failure my whole entire life. Every time I turn, whether it be a Jackie Chan film, whatever it is, those action films always lifted my spirits. No matter what, if it's an American film, and I've watched so many great action films over in Asia, but I refuse to watch the dub version. I will watch subtitles. You know, it's something that I can't watch it in English as dub. You know, it's something that I have to hear, you know, whoever the actors are, I have to hear it. So for many years, no matter what I've gone through in my life, and believe me, I laugh at this now, because when I was little, I had bullies. I used to get beat up every day. Oh, it was horrible. I laugh at it now, and people are wondering, like, how the heck am I not on drugs? When I was little, I had bullies, yes. I was the nerd girl. I was the ugly girl. And I used to get beat up every day on a daily basis. And, you know, it was just, it was horrid, and I could sit here and laugh. And if I tell these stories, people are going to be like, what? It's like, why am I not some mass murderer or something? And it's like, you know, going, getting, you know, fearing for your life, trying to run home. Then you go home, and they yell at you at home, you know, no one to help you at home. So it's horrible going home. No one's supporting you. I'm getting beat up, and it's like, you know, coming from an unhappy childhood. And it's like, you know, going to school, and the teachers at my school would see the kids beat me up, and the teachers never did anything. And people wonder why I hate schools, because of how I was treated and such. So the thing that gave me hope, you know, like I said, I always wanted to be a ninja. And the funny thing is, I like martial arts, but I hate fighting. I really do, and I used to watch people and watch the films and just watch the movements, and I go, wow, I'd love to be a ninja. I don't know if it's, like, something where I wanted to just protect myself, and I just, like, I just, it was horrible, because even going to jobs as a teenager, it was these crappy jobs that I had to work, and even as a young kid, what I did to collect money, and this was different when they had the parking meters, back home in Boston, we had these. I've learned from the boys in the neighborhood. I grew up with the nerdy boys and stuff like that. You know, the boys who used to get beat up. We shared the same bullies. We used to get beat up by girls. We used to get beat up by boys. And they showed me a little trick because I was always hungry. I would go around collecting cans, or I would take a coat hanger. And back then, the parking meters, you would open this little thing in front of the parking meter, and they would put dimes in it. Sometimes the dimes weren't go down all the way, so I would take a coat hanger and jibby-rig the parking lot meters to get the dimes out to get candy and stuff at the store. So I would do these things, and it's like, it's now, I guess it's all different with the parking meters, but, you know, when you're hungry, you want to go and do these things, and I would even go to the neighbor's, you know, wanted to, you know, get some food and get some candy and stuff like that. I mean, I never had the best of clothes and stuff. Most of my life I slept on floors and stuff, and, you know, it's something where it's just those things that happen. So I would end up going to my neighbors. And at the time, you could actually have a note and you could pick up cigarettes for your neighbors. So I would go get their milk and stuff like this. And believe me, to get money, I had to go to this neighbor. She was right next door, and she was really crazy. The funny thing is, she would walk out of the house naked and stuff like that, and it's like there's these things. But I wanted money. So what I would do, I'd go and visit her, and she kind of, like, trapped me in a house sometimes, but I always wanted money, you know, to have that little money in my pocket, you know, trying to find ways to make some money so I could have that little bit extra to eat and stuff like that. So, you know, I think these are things I've always wanted to do my whole life. So, you know, I mean, I'm not giving their hands or anything. I'm trying to find ways. You know, I know the CEO, John, you know, he is collecting money for the building, and we do need the funds for it. And believe me, I am really passionate about this. It's just something that I want to see that happens. I want to see it manifest. I hope the universe is really listening to me. Listen, I've been really good, and I've been focusing really hard. And I got to admit, I've been slacking, yes. I've been slacking on working out, and I got to admit, I know that's a terrible thing, but I'm doing everything alone. It's not like I have a boyfriend to pay anything for me. It's like I do everything myself. I go to a full-time job. There I am. And I'm working crazy in customer service. I'm on the phones. Believe this or not, ladies and gentlemen, I'm Shelly Nunchucks, okay? I'm sitting at a desk. This is what I'm doing. I know everybody's going to draw, is going to drop because you know how much I love life. But I'm sitting at a desk, and sometimes it's up to 10 hours a day. And, yes, I want to pull my hair out of my head. I got to do what I got to do. I pay my own bills, and I live paycheck to paycheck. And it's something where, you know, there was times when, I mean, it's really hard. You sit there and it's like I'm struggling. It's like I try not to ask for things, and I'm learning sometimes it's good to ask for help. You know, and here I am. I'll go, okay, maybe this paycheck I'll actually get a pair of winter boots. I mean, these things that I am struggling with. So it's like, believe me, if I had money myself, I would be giving to the building. It's just like I don't have money. This foundations is like I try to read about foundations and charity work. I don't really have the money to give. I mean, I'm working all the time, but it's like working almost 40 hours a week and then coming home, now working, doing it. It's not like I have an assistant. No one's helping me. It's not like, you know, I have guys all helping me. I'm doing everything by myself. And I know you hear girls say, I'm doing things by myself, and they usually got guys to help them. I'm literally doing everything by myself. I mean, it's great that I'm networking stuff, and you have, like, people of word of mouth and sharing, you know, give me great credibility, but I am doing the work myself. You know, going to work, going crazy over a job where you're getting screamed at all day long. And it's just really, it's very stressful. My job's a very, very stressful job. So I'm trying to hang in there, and it's like I pray, too. I've been praying so hard, and I'm trying to stay focused. I pray so hard that my radio show gets syndicated because it's something for myself, for my future, you know, relying on myself. I mean, it's great, you know, maybe someday I might get married or something, but as of right now, I want to do things for myself. And it's like, even though I have no money and I'm, you know, I'm not really down and out. I know I'm very blessed because here I am. I could be out on the streets. I could be homeless. I don't. I have a roof over my head. Okay, I don't have a car, but guess what? My legs work. And after that full year of being hurt, injured, and not being able to walk, that 3 days of being in bed and really laying there going, wow, I screwed up. I'm never going to be able to walk again. And every now and then, I do fall off my path. I'm a human being, you know, I have emotions and stuff like that, but I'm trying. And lately, the last week and a half, I've been really, really trying and focusing. And I try to find, you know, try to talk about, you know, other charities and foundations, but sometimes, you know, it's really hard because it's like I'm trying. I'm trying really hard. I'm trying to talk from my heart, and I'm trying to get these words out. And it's really, really hard because it seems like if you're a big Hollywood person, people pay more attention to you. And it's something where, and I do know because, I mean, most of my stuff that I do, if I do photo shoots or something, that I'm totally covered up. I don't really have cleavage or things hanging out. And I know a lot of girls are doing that, and they do get a lot of attention, and they get, you know, they get things. They get a lot of things like money and such, and I know it's taking me a long time. I've been networking for 10 years, and I've seen, you know, girls that are, you know, to each their own. I'm not condemning them because that would be for me wrong for doing that. Believe me, if anybody ever landed a hand on any of those girls, I would flip them right over the shoulder and stuff. But here I am trying to do my things, and maybe I don't get the attention. Like, these girls might have, like, 10,000 people looking at them because they're exposing their breasts or whatever. But here I'm trying. I'm trying really, really hard, and I'm doing everything myself. I'm not being handed everything, and I'm trying, and it's like, it's not begging, but it's asking for help. Because it's like, I know people, you know, I mean, I believe in God, and here I am, and I go, it's not like, you know, I see other people that are handed things, and it's like, not that I'm saying it's unfair or anything. It's just that I wish I had a little break once in my life because there's things that I wish to see happen, and I'm just trying. I'm trying very hard, and, you know, I try to come up with ideas, and I keep failing, and there's one thing I just want to see that happen. I really, really want to see this building for the stunt community with all the history and stuff, and even, you know, the stunt people that are in the present, not just from the past, and hopefully, you know, to have a building that's going to stand strong and be big enough for even future generations. And it's for me giving back. You know, it's something that even, you know, I'm not going to be, life is so short that I know I'm not going to always be here on the planet, but if I could leave something, you know, and help preserve something that I've loved my whole life. And I know sometimes in life, girls will like something just to impress men. And this stuff is not to impress any men because this is stuff I loved. And, you know, even my photo shoot, the katana blade, that's not my katana blade. I wish it was mine. And there I was. It was the photographer's katana blade. And the person knew about martial arts and helped me pose the right way. I go, look, I want to pose the right way, you know, and just do a great photo shoot. And I actually love the pictures. But anyway, to get back to people, future guests and stuff like that, when I was mentioning about Douglas, I tend to ramble when I don't have guests on my show. It's just they go on and on. And it's not scripted. Here I am talking about myself. It's kind of like stand-up. I've done stand-up, and let me say I'm really animated when I do stand-up. I actually made someone, a drunk guy, fall off the bar stool when I was doing stand-up. And I guess he was okay, but you know, I guess I'm doing a pretty good job at stand-up if you make a drunk guy fall off his bar stool laughing so hard. So we didn't have to call an ambulance or something, so he got back up and just was having a ball when I was doing some stand-up because very animated. You know, I'm half Italian, so there goes my hands. You know, I guess you can stop me from talking if you tie my hands together because I am part Italian, so maybe that'll stop me from talking. But to get back to Douglas, I'm really hoping, I know his son Travis, he's the younger generation, he's younger than me, and he's amazing, and I'm hoping to get Travis Wong on my show. He's just very busy. I'm pretty sure in the future I'll have him on my show. Don the Dragon Wilson, his son Jonathan Hiroshi Wilson, he was a guest on my show, and I was like, you know, very sweet, you know, he's working his way, he wants to come into his own, and this one, I mean, I'm hoping to get other children and stuff on my show, and there's this one kid, it's like, you guys, you know how things happen, it's like, I was going to have a guest on my show, and my poor guest, my nephew Cardiac, I felt so bad. I didn't know what was happening. He was in the hospital and he broke something and I saw pictures. I was like, oh my God, he's in a cast right now. And I promised to all the fans for Cardiac, I'm going to get him on the show, but he's in a cast. He broke his ankle and I was like, he's MIA. So, you know, I had someone call in and, you know, I was talking about this guy, if I could say his name, I think it's Hamid, and he's a martial artist, and it's kind of funny, it's how the universe works, and the guy's back in Boston, Massachusetts, and I'm sitting there going, this is so weird, because it's like, it's all these connections, and it makes me so happy, because I wanted to come on and, you know, help promote Traditions, which is Don the Dragon Wilson, and his whole family, James Wilson, Hiroshi, you know, Jonathan Hiroshi Wilson, Cynthia Rothrock, many people. One of my guests on and show, another stunt woman, she was talking about Traditions with me, and they're going to be sending me a shirt. And I'm looking, I hope I get a photographer to take pictures in there. It's just like, my point of all my rambling is, I was so blown away. And it's like, everyone knows I love dragons. My totem's not a dragon. I just love dragons. I even have a little tiny dragon tattoo on my back shoulder blade. Well, this guy that calls in, he's a martial arts instructor that has a school back in Boston, and he actually sells the tradition stuff in, you know, in his store. And he's sitting there, and he started talking about his young son. And I'm actually, man, I hope I can find the page. And he was dubbed Young Dragon. And I almost fell off the bed, and it was telling me it was by Don the Dragon Wilson, and I was like, what? His name is Young Dragon? And let me see, because I know I like the page, because once you have, I think this is it right here, and I'm going to try to pronounce his name the best I can. I do have that funny Bostonian accent, and I'm actually pulling up his page. I love his page. I'm so, this kid, that's amazing. He's only 9 years old, people. I am not kidding. This is a future generation. His name is Nassim Young Dragon, N-A-S-S-I-M. I am so blown away with this kid. And I guess he loves nunchucks and stuff like that. This kid, I really literally went over through his home Facebook page. You guys got to see this. He has over 29,000 people on his page. He's got videos and I mean, it's just, I can't even explain it. You guys have to see it. See, this is radio, so you guys can't see it. You have to visit his page, and you have to see. This 9 years old. 9 years old, okay? It's like, I'm pulling up his page. I am not kidding. I'm pulling up on Nassim Young Dragon, and it says here, 9-year-old junior black belt kickboxing and karate world champion with 87. People, this kid is 9 years old. 87 national titles in 2012, 2013. When does this kid sleep? You guys gonna see this little guy. He's adorable. Man, I would love to play his mom in a film. I really, really. He's got curly hair. I got curly hair. Who says I couldn't be his mom in a film here? Awesome. It's just showing his page. Man, people, you've got to see this kid's page. 9 years old, Nassim Young Dragon. It's N-A-S-S-I-M. And just check him out. His pictures are great. They're awesome. And I think the other day last week, I was posting all over, you know, loving these pictures of this kid. He's got two swords, and I'm like, man, I would be scared of this kid. No, but yeah, from what I heard, he's a very sweet kid, but 9 years old. Man, young dragon. Wow, this kid is going to go far. And it's like I'm seeing people on here, and it's like you're standing. I'm jealous. I'm jealous of young dragon right now because he's there with his dad. And I see a picture, and that's Michael Jai White. And I'm like, is that Michael Jai White? I think it is. I think that's him. It looks like him. If that's him, oh, my God. Is that Michael Jai White? I think that is. Oh, my God. It looks like him on his page. No fooling. But you've got to, I mean, this kid's amazing. I'm just enjoying his page, truly. But this is another thing, too, for future generations. I like to have something to give. Just say that memorabilia, not just from past, but for present and for future. This is why I think it's so important. It's to honor the stuntmen and women, you know, just to get the building for them there. And like I said, it's something that I'd like to give back, you know, for the community. And if you, I'm going back and forth here, because it's for the fundraiser, it's for Artist of the Stars. If you want to go there, and I know sometimes when people, they make donations, they might want something back. And that's, you know, that's totally understandable. But if you go, I actually posted my top thing on my page right now, Artist of the Stars. It says, John G. Hagner, the Artist of the Stars, has drawn hundreds of portraits of famous celebrities. He uses the medium of graphite pencils. He's also a very fine artist in colored pencils, watercolors, acrylics, and oils, and has excelled in the old-fashioned technique in using scratch board. So if you look on my page, Artists of the Stars, the money you pay for these, you know, will go towards the foundation for the charity for this year. And let's see. I was just bringing up something here on my Facebook page. Once again, like I said, I run everything myself, so bear with me. Sometimes I'm a tech tard. I really am a tech tard sometimes. yeah, there's also another page you can actually go to, and I post so many things on my Facebook page. By the way, people, listen, you know, I post on my Facebook page, and I'm learning, you know, I don't want to overpost on other people's Facebook page because it's like, you know, I'm trying to promote in a proper way. If there's you know, pages where you can promote things, I'll do that, but it's like I try not to do too much stuff unless it's involved in the person personally because I know about video games and stuff. People invite me on Facebook on video games. I don't even have a TV to play video games at home. People are inviting me these things to Facebook. But, you know, I try to promote so many things on my Facebook page. But, you know, if I overdo it, you know, you still can be my friend. You just hide my status, and then you come back to my Facebook page, and you go, hey, what isn't Shelly posting on a page? But you can also see Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame. You can check that out. Man, how long have I been talking for? I've been talking for an hour nonstop. Okay, how about a little bit of a break? Now, I want to play this song. And it's actually by Pisces Project by Ahura Zakor Deliza and his beautiful lovely wife, Sonari Athenius. And it's a beautiful song. It's actually a little tiny video on YouTube with pictures and stuff. But it's a very positive song. It's uplifting. So I'm going to take a little break. My little co-host, Jackie Chan King, is getting all frisky. I need to give a little attention and get a drink. And I'll be right back. Enjoy this song. It's very uplifting. I'll be right back. Okay, I'm back, and I wanted to play another song. The next song that I wanted to play is actually, it's called The Fighter, and it's from my nephew, Kodiak and Sacrifice, and the song The Fighter, the song's like one of my theme songs, and the thing about this song, why it's really special, and I know it's, you know, rap and stuff, and some people aren't into it. The first thing it was supposed to originally getting to the film The Fighter with Mark Wahlberg and stuff, but I think for some reason or other, they didn't think it was good enough for that, but it's something that I wanted to take, and it's like, I know that out of tragedy, there comes something wonderful, and it's something where, the song The Fighter, I'd like to dedicate it in my film to Sarah, who is my other nephew's sacrificed young wife who passed away from breast cancer. And it's something, she was pregnant with her young son and didn't want to get treatment for cancer. She didn't want to hurt her unborn son. So I guess she had passed away after her son was born. And out of it, I'm actually part of this other foundation called the Sarah Joy Foundation. And it's the Sarah Joy Foundation is to help out, to give back to families with terminal cancer, to maybe help pay their bills and help out for outings. So it's called the Sarah Joy Foundation, which I will post on the Facebook page. And the song The Fighter, my nephew Sacrifice, it was his young wife that passed away, where when my film, The Dishwasher, gets filmed, what I'm going to do in my own personal way to help keep Sarah's, you know, spirit alive, dedicate The Fighter in The Dishwasher film to Sarah. Like I says, I know a lot of people aren't into rap and stuff, but this song's called The Fighter, and it's going to be dedicated to Sarah to help keep her dream alive. So, you know, I want you guys to listen to it. It's just, you know, about that being the underdog, because in the video itself, it actually shows the Lowell Gym back in Boston, Massachusetts, and it shows the boxer in the video. And it's something that, you know, like I said, I know not everybody's into rap, but this song just means something to me. And see, me doing wanting to do my own film once again because of the stunt people, because of you guys, the martial artists, here I am, wanting to do stuff in my own way for my film with the Song of the Fighter. See, this is, everything's connected. So do you see, understand why I want to get a building for the stunt community, for all the history stuff? But this is the song. I'm going to play it. Like, once again, it is kind of like a rap song, but it is a dedication to someone that had passed away, and I'm hoping to keep, you know, Sarah's spirit alive. So I'll be right back. I'm going to play The Fighter.
Anxiety sets in, I'm starting to pace. My nerves unsettle, sweat drips my face. Hands take, can't escape this decision I make. Heart racing, my faith says this is my fate. I just brace and I take in the face of adversity. Tasting this certainty, the brakes ain't hurting me. Gain honor, bomb my pain stronger. Fame smarter, street smarter, train harder. Can't stop me, drop me, I'm not losing. I'm too fast, lightning even when I'm not moving. All heart, leave these cowards on cold. I'm hot, not to mention all the power I hold. Keep moving, keep training, headstrong. Be patient, meet them head to head. I don't care if it's the least safest. Not stopping, have a promise to prove I'm a fighter. It's not an option to lose.
I ain't gonna stop.
and I'm back. Oh, peeps, let me tell you, I live for action films. You know, if you guys want to help keep the history, the memorabilia, you know, like help preserve it, you know, get at me or, you know, go to one of my pages on my Facebook page. You know, not just for the past, for the present stunt community, for the future generations to get a building, you know, it's going to be like a museum. And I just think it would be a wonderful, wonderful thing because the stunt people, you know, they're really a big part of a lot of films. So it's something where, you know, even future generations, I think it's, like, really important. No, I think it's not just important. I think it's a necessity to have this building for the stunt community. I really think it's a necessity. You guys are all going to think I'm nuts. No, really think about it. Because if you really think, you know, when people are down, when people go to the movie theaters, for me personally, if I watch a drama, I just like, you know, I want to be entertained. When people have problems, what films do, what action films, and I know a lot of people think action films are for knuckleheads and blah, 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 this and that. When you go to a movie theater, those films that are up on the screens with those stunt people that you're watching, those men and women, we're taking people that, you know, having a bad day, they go to a movie and they're sitting in a movie theater for a couple hours and they watch the big screen, their problems go away for a couple hours. And you might think, oh, some people might think action films are dumb. But if you really think about it, and people having problems in the world, you know, these people that, you know, have sicknesses and disease, if for a couple of hours, these stunt people, you know, they're putting their lives in the line to help entertain. They're putting their bodies, their heart, their soul, you know, broken bones and everything. People are coming to the movie theaters, and they're getting away from their problems for a couple hours to see these great men and women up on the films. This is why I think it's such a necessity to get this building for this museum for the stunt community. Not just for the past generations or the past decades, but for the present and for the future generations, the ones that are coming, you know, that are growing up. And, you know, to leave that behind even, to have something, you know, for the stunt community. And I'm praying, I hope the universe is, like, really listening to me. You know, it's something that I would love to see happen. And I really mean that from the bottom of my heart. It's this is stuff that, like, maybe, you know, I'm just a beginner at martial arts, even my age. But when I see people, and this summer, I went to a tournament in Maine. I don't compete, but even, you know, watching people compete and watching, you know, it's not just about competing, but seeing their forms with the weapons, I'm in awe, and I could watch that stuff. Someday when I have a car and I've got the money, I'm going to go to some seminars. And there's so many things for the past, you know, 4 years, not having a car, I'm limited. I'm up in Maine, people. I'm up in Maine. Do you know what it's like to live in Maine? It's like the North Pole in the wintertime. I am not kidding. It is so cold. When you're walking around knee-deep in snow, people are talking about snow and how much they love it. You tell me when it's below zero and up in Maine, and let me just say, I thought Boston was cold. I come up here, oh, my gosh. When I'm walking everywhere, and I have to walk everywhere in the snow, I'm telling you, a pair of boots do not last the whole winter. It's brutal cold. It's like your face is red even when you come in. And let me say, you know, doing stunts, believe me, I know after filming winter last year when we started to film Summer Falcon here, our costumes, like we were out in this big, huge field, you know, filming, doing the training scene. We were picking up trees. I'm not kidding. And I had this boulder, and I have a picture, and they're all laughing because I look like I was giving birth to a rock on the thing because I was trying to pick it up because this stuff was really heavy, you know. This was training right on the film. And, you know, having that training costume, below zero, freezing weather, we don't have the novelties on set, you know, there's trills and stuff. There's nothing. You have to pee in the woods. No, I'm not kidding. There is no bathrooms where we're filming. There's nothing. You got to go pee in the woods, you know, and it's like I always made sure I had to pack some toilet there, but I never had to go to the bathroom when I was out there filming. But it was so cold because we had to take our jackets off, and we were filming knee-deep in snow, in the costume itself, we had nothing on our arms. It was skin on our arms doing this film. And I'm sitting there going, oh, my God, I hate Maine. And I'm filming in the freezing cold, man. This is horrible. Oh, my God. And I'm sitting there going, okay, I thought of Jackie Chan. And I said, no, he does this trick where he sticks his head between his legs to become angry. So it's like, I'm going to pull a Jackie Chan. So I went, and this is like, I'm telling you, it's so cold. I stuck my head between my legs in between takes, and I'm sitting there freezing. So as we're getting ready to film, you know, I had to stand there knee-deep in snow, nothing on my arms, and I'm freezing, shaking, and I was like, you know, while we're getting ready to, you know, they're setting up the camera to film, I stick my head between my legs, and I'm wrapping my arms around myself, and I'm pulling a Jackie Chan on set just to, like, stay warm, and we're so cold. And after filming, everyone is so exhausted. We will go back and, you know, we'd always have, you know, like a big meal and stuff. I pass out holding my plate. I'm not kidding. This is how tight. I will pass out on the floor in a chair and stuff. I'm sitting up after filming in the winter. My face is still red. We're all shivering. But, I mean, it's nice and warm in the house. It's just after filming, it's really hard. So it's like having this experience, it's like I really understand what some of the stunt people going through. I mean, maybe I don't know how many people have filmed in the snow, but even having this experience and learning that, you know, working with Director Z, I understand, you know, what you guys have all gone through. And I respect you guys so much. And it's so hard. And it's like even doing that fight scene and being thrown on the ground, I just really learned from that day to respect you guys even more. And that's why I really think, you know, like I said, it's not just something that I want to do. I think it's a necessity for a building, for this museum, for the stunt community. And I just want to give back because you people, I know I always repeat myself and stuff, but you guys have this wonderful work where for so many years, ever since I was little, like I've mentioned with other people, when I've had problems, I go to the movie theaters for those couple hours on the big screen. You guys with, you know, the music, and I'm sitting there and I see the ninjas and the swords and the fighting. You guys put the biggest smiles on my face. I love your work and I respect it so much. And like I always says, I've never wanted to be Barbie. I wanted to be a ninja. And just seeing the work, I know the training stuff. I've had a little bit of training in martial arts and capoeira, in Tai Chi. And it's something where I respect you guys even more. And I know, you know, being blessed to be able to have people come into my life. I'm very happy and I'm so thankful. And in return, as everybody's coming into my life, they're stretching out their hand and they're helping to lift me higher. So in return, I don't know how, you know, to get this building, whether it's in Utah and California, but all the many decades, all the memorabilia from the past generation, that's what John G. Hagner, he's the co-founder of the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame. And everyone, you know who's in the chat room? Brother Z. So you guys want to say hi to Brother Z. He's in the chat room. Hi, Z. Now, that's pretty funny. I say hi, Z, and a cargo bike goes beep, beep outside. That's kind of funny. Hey, bro. So everyone in there, the guy that I was talking about, the man, the myth, the legend himself, Horace the Cordeliza, he's in the chat room. So you guys all want to say hi. Yeah. So anyway, I ramble on. I'm going to be having more great guests come on my show as time go by. And I'm very thankful. Everybody that's been on my, you know, shows, I'm just going over, you know, between Douglas Wong. Johnny Krang, he's the one who I got the, you know, I says, follow your bliss. Johnny Krang is the one who fought, like, Jet Li and, you know, he interviewed Jackie Chan. Where I get follow your bliss, I actually got it from him. And he's a crazy guy. He's like, he's telling me stories. But see, this is why I want to give back, because you guys inspired me. And everybody out there, you know, if you guys can give donations to help with this museum, it will be greatly appreciated. And that's just what I help preserve. And they said, I'm the younger generation coming on board, you know, as an advisor on the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame. I'm the younger generation. And you know, it's not just from the past. It's for the present and for the future generation. That's how really it's important. It's such a necessity, you know, to get this building and just be able to just do that. Like I said, I don't know where it's going to be right now. Okay, Brother Z's typing something. He's going to tease me. I just know this. Oh, the number to call in. Number to call in is 347-989-9673. 1473. Again, the number to call in is 347-989-1473. You people, he's going to tease me. Oh, no, Fantasy's going to call in. Oh, no. Hold on. So you guys are going to be in for a treat. I'm telling you guys. Really, truly, you're going to be in for a treat for this. Oh, no, I'm scared. He's going to call in. Oh, gosh. Yes. You guys, you know, this is going to be awesome. I'm scared at the same time. But, you know, like this is, you know, working with these men is just a blessing. And it's made me appreciate so much more and understand, you know, from being behind the scenes and respecting of getting thrown around and stuff, like you people out there, I love you guys, you men and women in the stunt world. I love you people so much, and I'm so very thankful once again for all my guests on my show. And I can't make an announcement as of yet, but there's going to be more people coming on my show, and so I think I have a caller. Okay. Hello, caller, you're on the
Hello.
Air.
Hello.
Hi, Z. Hi.
What's up?
Oh, nothing much.
How you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great. I'm like, I don't even know how I'm awake. You know,
yeah,
how we all do.
I just finished my show. I thought I'd call and mess with you for a while.
I knew you were going to do this. I don't know who's listening right now. It's kind of like, it's like, oh, no. He's going to call in. Oh, no.
Yes, definitely. I had to mess with you a little bit.
Yeah, it's a pre-messing before Saturday for Film and Valkyr.
Yeah. Well, you know, we had a good time on Saturday, and you know, we did some pretty good footage. I've been working on the teaser trailer for Valkyr, and it looks like it's going to be really good. You know, it's turned out wonderfully.
Wait.
Yeah.
Of course, I'm all psyched. Because I, you know, I'm posting about it. I talk about it all the time. And I just want to say thank you, Z. Thank you for believing me and giving me so many opportunities. I thank you so much from the bottom of my heart.
Well, you know, thank you for believing in yourself and believing in me. You know, so that goes both ways. You know, one of the things that's really important is to understand that when you go out to do something, you also have to give yourself a pat on the back for doing it. You know, so it also helps my project as well, you know. And I'm sure that a lot of people can agree to the same thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So, we have fun. It was fun Saturday, and I'm sure we have a lot more fun. Some of the stuff that is coming up for the shoot is going to be awesome, you know. We still have to get the horses and everything in, too.
The horses?
You know, so.
Oh!
Yeah. So who's your guest tonight?
It wasn't any guests tonight because what I was doing, a couple of fundraisers, and one of the fundraisers is for the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame because they're looking to raise money for a building. I don't know if it's going to be in Utah or California, but not only from the past, because the founder, John G. Hagner, a very talented man, a stuntman who's been done stunts for many years, he's the older generation, and since he's brought me on board as a board advisor, I'm the younger generation, and it's something that I want to give back to the community because they've enlightened my life, my whole life, and this is how I want to give back.
Cool. I think that's great. I think that they all should, you know, get together and make sure that that happens. You know, hopefully it does. You know, there are a lot of terrific stunt people out there that have made movies what they are today. In other words, they've made, you know, all of those action sequences. You have to remember that there are stunt people that are doing all of those, you know. So hopefully Hollywood and any other movie association sees the value of that and supports them, you know. They do need a building, you know. They need everything. These are the people that make your movies exciting. So I hope if anybody's listening that they pass the word to other people and say, hey, you know, we need stunt people to make our movies great. And, you know, otherwise it'd just be a lot of boring sequences in movies.
Yeah.
You know, someone has to be tossed around and thrown around and burned and jumping off of buildings and hit by cars. And, you know, like, someone has to do it.
You know. And after working with you, I really, it's like, you know, it's like love and stuff. Oh, yeah, that's awesome, awesome. But when working with you on set and it's like having the opportunities being thrown around and stuff and hitting the ground and it's like all these things are going, wow, this really is hard work.
Yeah, you just think that's punishment. like being thrown around.
Yeah, and it made me realize and respect them so much more. And going, since I'm kind of, I mean, they've done crazier things than me, but it gave me more, even a more profound respect for them after that.
Yeah, because it hurts.
Yeah, because after the bounce the ground, I get
nothing. Why, you know, that's why I'm pushing, you know, when I do push you, it's to make sure we don't have to do it over and over again. Because your body's only going to take so much.
Yeah, I learned that the hard way.
If we get it done in one or two takes, that would be perfect.
Yeah, and it's something that I really respect, and I know how much hard work it is. And, I mean, I know we film on Saturdays because, like I tell people, independent films, the money comes out of your own pocket. So
yeah, it does.
So what we've been filming with, you know, big Hollywood pictures, they usually have a big budget, so they can film 3 or 6 months at a time. But people like yourself, you run a school, funds come out of, like, you know, mostly your pocket, so we can only film on Saturdays. And I was hoping, you know, I tell people about Valkyrie, and I tell them about the fundraiser where they can go and, you know, donate to towards us, and it'll be a great, it's a great film. You know,
it's
going to
be a spectacular film. You know what? I am redefining superhero films, you know, so hopefully it'll catch on. You know, we need some new heroes. I don't want to see any more guys in panties anymore.
Yeah. You know? Oh, yeah, okay, I get it.
You know?
I'm
kind of tired of that.
Yeah.
You know?
When you were growing up, did you have, I mean, who did you like, you know, who did you like watching in films when you were growing up?
Oh, I was a big superhero fan. I mean, I watched every superhero that there was, you know. I watched the progressions of superheroes, you know. It was the Incredible Hulk, of course. There was Thor. There was Superman. There was Batman. There's Spider-Man, there was, Aquaman, there was Birdman, there was Hawkman, there was the Green Arrow, there was the Green Lantern, there was Hawkeye, there was the Fantastic Four, there was, you know, all of these different superheroes, you know, that, you know, I just wanted to be like them. You know, the only thing that I couldn't deal with is wearing undies outside of your costume, you know. It's a little funny for me, you know, but, you know, I'd listen to these people talking and want to do these magnificent things, you know, just want to be another superhero, you know, and I decided at some point in time that I was going to do superhero movies, you know. It's just that, you know, the people that I thought were heroes changed over so much time, you know. It's, you know, I get to actually be Thor, but not the comic book Thor. My own creation of Thor, you know, and the movie that I'm in. And, you know, I get to actually have this group of strong women being Valkyrie, you know, which is awesome, you know. And you're right, you know, we don't have the money, a lot of money to do that. They always give, you know, certain people the money to make these movies that are kind of crappy, you know. But, you know, some of them are good. You know, I went to see Stan Lee's version of Thor, which was okay. You know, I didn't hate the guy that did it. He's, you know, it was great. It was a good movie, you know. Could have been a lot more active, and, you know, I would, based upon what it is that I know about Norse mythology, you know, which is quite a bit, Thor wasn't actually a pretty boy, you know. He was all about business, if you know what I mean, you know. But, okay. They want to make him, you know, blonde-haired and blue-eyed, which is the illusion of what Nordic actually is, you know. So there are a lot of blonde-haired, blue-eyed people. That's great, but, you know, not all of them are like that. You know, you have to make him real at some point in time. You know, then there's one of my favorites, which was Iron Man, you know, and, you know, you think about Robert Downey Jr. At first, I didn't really like him in that part because I didn't think that he was Tony Stark. If anybody was Tony Stark, that would have been Tom Selleck. I would have liked to see him in that role and have Carl Weathers be Rhodey, you know what I mean? But they didn't think of that then, you know. And you think about Thor, and the Thor movie would have been great if Triple H could actually act. He'd have made a perfect Thor, you know. Or if, you know, way back in the day, they could have used Dolph Lundgren as Thor. He'd have made a perfect Thor. Or they could have used someone. Well, they could have used just about any. If they wanted to go more what Thor was like, they could have used a whole lot of people, you know, but I know that they've always had their idea of what superheroes were and what they look like and all that good stuff, which is like 99% wrong. But hey, you know, they're, you know, big buff. What kind of bothers me is they cast people that have absolutely no superhero presence in the role of superheroes a lot of times, but sometimes they, you know, they do good. The guy from Thor was good. You know, I thought he was very cool. There's another series on TV that is actually called Green Arrow. I like the guy that is doing that, you know.
Yes.
There is, I'm kind of tired of Mila Jovovich and Resident Evil. She had nothing to do with the movie, nothing to do with the game, you know, so.
yeah.
You know, but, I like superhero movies, and I think that we all like superhero movies. So I just coined a new type of movie that I called Mythosy, which is a combination of mythological things and fantasy. You know, so that's where Valkyr is coming in. You know, Valkyr is going to be a beautiful movie. I'll do what I can to make it beautiful. And you being part of it, you know how hard I work.
Every Saturday.
For the stunt people, I think that's a... that's a great effort. You know, I've come to know that there are a lot of very wonderful stunt people out there, you know, that are doing some hard work. You know,
yeah.
So.
And that's what I want to do.
Good. Yeah, I know that's what you want to do. You know,
yeah.
You're going to have to focus
yeah.
a lot harder, but you're doing it. You know, anyway,
yeah.
I just wanted to call and mess with you for a little bit.
Yeah, I'm going to get more... yeah, Saturday. This is just a preview to Saturday.
Yep. You know, it's all in fun, all in positivity,
yeah.
all in fun. Anyway, you have
it's
a good night.
All in love.
I'll talk to you
okay,
soon.
See.
Love you.
All
night,
right,
night.
Bro. Night, bro. Bye. Bye. Well, everyone, that was Brother Z, the man that I talk about. I call him the man, the myth is legend, and he just shakes his head. And that's Brother Z, the man that I actually... you know, get to work with every Saturday. And like I'm telling you, because of Z, he gave me, like I keep repeating myself, a more profound, you know, respect for stuntmen and women and really being behind, you know, doing, you know, work and stuff on film sets made me respect stunt community any, you know, much more. So that's why I'm hoping to bring, you know, a building to create a museum, not just for, you know, past memorabilia, but it's for present and also, you know, future. But if anybody wants to call in, just to let you know, the number is 347-989-1473. The number again is 347-989-1473. Also here, just bringing up on my Facebook page, you know, if you want to try going to check that out, remember, wants to go to Artist of the Stars, and going down on my page more. Remember, if you want to help donate to the Philippines for the typhoon, you go. I posted this all. It's American Red Cross. You can go to my Facebook page tonight and help to donate to Typhoon Relief on Facebook. And it says 100% proceeds go to the typhoon disaster. You know, with the Red Cross. There's a couple of the page, Hollywood Stuntman's Hall of Fame. You can check that out. Everything is tied in together, Falling for the Stars. And remember everything tonight on tonight's show, it's to help to raise funds for a new building for the Hollywood Stuntman Hall of Fame. You know, I'm honoring the community. You know, I'm doing this straight from my eye, you know, repping the stump community left and right here. And like I said, with films, you know, it's something that, you know, it's just a beautiful thing with these action films. And, you know, I've heard people that really aren't action films, they think they're dumb. But once again, just remember, people that do have problems and they go to a movie theater and their problems go away, it's not a solution. But if you can take the stress off of someone, you know, because stress is really, it can make you sick. Believe me, I know. But if you're helping to someone and bring a little bit of entertainment from the, you know, bring their stress levels down, because, you know, your stress levels, that can raise, like, cholesterol, you can make you sick, it can give you migraines. If you can do a film, you know, action films, then people are going to see your film, and they're sitting there in the theater, and for about 2.5 hours, sometimes 3, I mean, the films sometimes are that way, you're taking away people's problems. And that's what the stunt community has done for me when I was watching their films growing up. And it's kind of like a relief. I don't know if it's like a little bit of a medication watching, you know, stunt films and stuff, because it made me feel good. It made me feel good. But granted, the price of the tickets, some of them are kind of crazy. Actually, my friend Jen and I went to go see the new Thor, the second one. I mean, I had a blast. And I got to say, I even liked Loki. I know people like all into the Thor, but I kind of like Loki. But my favorite character from Thor is actually Sif. And if you really think about it, I think Thor and Sif should be together and not, I mean, it's, you know, Natalie Portman, she's, you know, Earth Girl, what she can live mostly 100 years. But Sif and Thor, I mean, I don't know, you know, I should educate me more. And I'm like, I promise I'll do some more homework on the Norse gods. I'll have to look it up and such, you know, to learn more about the mythology on that. But watching Thor, it just seems like, you know, something where I really think that the character Sif, she should actually be the one with Thor. I don't know if that's just crazy or not, but, and I had a blast. I mean, it was in 3D. It made me a little dizzy. I mean, you know, it's kind of like things that I'm also trying to work to overcome. There's many things I try to hope to overcome, and it's like, it seems like I said, there's so many things that, excuse me, action films have helped me my whole life. You know, there's things that I'm working on besides, like, I have, you know, like irritable bowel syndrome. I have a form of vertigo where I bump into walls, and it's like something where when I was training in the dojo back in Boston in Capoeira, and I was trying to learn how to do flips, and I was going to the kids' class and learn how to do tumblesaults, the whole world would spin, and I found out I have a form of vertigo. So it's like, okay, there's that. Then going to find out more lately about myself, and it's the way I think, and I thought I was pretty stupid. I have a form of, like, an autism or something, and if I can say this correctly, Asperger's syndrome or something, and it's kind of a form of autism, and it's the way I think, like, I space out, and people sometimes, you know, they're like, Shelly, you're spacing out, so it's like, there's these things I have, and it's like, maybe it's just, you know, the way I learn and stuff, and it's really, you know, I try to not let things stop me, but sometimes it's like, you know, I get stressed out like anybody else. And so once again, in my whole life, action films. I go in the movie theater and I feel free. Now, granted, I walk to the movie theater in Maine, and even though it's in the same city, it takes about 2 hours to walk to the movie theater. How do I know? Because I walked to the movie theater. I wanted to see Fast and the Furious, the latest one, so I walked to the movie theater, and it took me 2 hours to get there and back, and I like Vin Diesel, and I wanted to see an action film, and I enjoyed it, and that four-hour walk to the movie theater back and forth, I actually enjoyed it, so it made my whole day, and it's just something I wish, you know, wanted to see it, but now it's like Netflix, I'm a kid in a candy store. So I can watch all the action and films I want with my little furball co-host, Jackie Chan Kitty. And as you can see, like me talking about stuff, once again, action films, it kind of, like, takes away pain. And it's something that just my whole life, you know, watching people, you get into this zone and you're watching the martial artist, and it's like you're focusing on what they're doing in the films, the stunt people, the martial artists. And it just seemed to help me my whole life. You know, just like, and just having idols. Like, I've looked up to Jackie Chan. Excuse me, I got to get a little drink of water here. I've been talking. But, you know, just having that where, even when I had gotten into martial arts in my 30s, like I said, just a beginner, something bad happened to me at a certain time, and I won't get into details, and I was like, I got lost again. And I was like, I had no idea what was going to happen in my life, and I was looking for a Jeet Kune Do at the time. And I, you know, I didn't really know people that were really into it into martial arts because I was mostly surrounded by people who would tell me no, 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 oh, no all the time. And I've liked Jackie Chan my whole life and a bunch of other people that are saying it's not normal to like Jackie Chan and it's not normal to like martial arts. And I was getting yelled at all the time saying it's just not normal to like martial arts. So when something bad had happened, I was like, you know, I don't want to feel bad for myself. So I went to a dojo. And I actually, it was in Everett Broadway, and it was in, like I said, I really wanted to learn Jeet Kune Do, but I was watching a film called Only the Strong with one of my capoeira brothers, Mark DeCascos, and I watched it a lot. And it's just, you know, this guy Malou came up to me, and he asked, you know, was talking to me. And I said, can I sit and watch a class? And he's like, yeah. And so then I started, you know, going to the class. The funny thing is, you know how the shoe's on the other foot? Well, get this. Capoeira is an African-Brazilian martial art. It started in Africa, transcended into Brazil. Capoeira is a martial art that was actually, you know, formed from the slaves because they would have their hands chained, and they would do it disguised as a dance because it had become illegal for a while, for a couple hundred years, and they made it, like, legal. It's only been in the United States for about 50 years, I think, and it's something, you know, I got into, you know, basic martial arts. The thing is, capoeira, it's taught in Portuguese. So there I am. Everybody's going one way. I'm going the other way. I'm in the back of class. I don't know what I'm doing. So it's like there I was. But the beauty of it, you know, the thing going into the rota, into the circle, and you play this thing in the rota, in the circle, you go playing the game, and you have your instructor, which was Caveira, that was my instructor at the time, and they have a fishing pole thing, and it's called a berimbau, and they have the drums and stuff, and it's live music. Everything's in, like, Portuguese, so I'm just sitting there clapping, and what you would do, you'd go, it's called hierarchy, and I was, the level that I got to was gold and yellow, but, you know, when I was starting there, they said that, you know, you can't interrupt, you know, people playing, you can't go anybody higher than yourself. And what you do is you would squat down and you'd wait for your instructor to go, and you would go into the rota and you would play the game. And I would always start off on the cartwheel. I can't do the cartwheel to the right, but I never did a cartwheel. I learned how to do a cartwheel in the dojo. And I actually have a picture somewhere on my Facebook of me doing a cartwheel. So it's kind of like something I was trying to learn, trying to evolve to get into doing flips. I mean, I haven't trained in capoeira for a few years now, but I was doing that. And I got to go and do performances. I got to travel a little bit. I even got to go to Astoria, New York. There I was. And what martial arts did for me, there I was thinking, you know, and I was funny and stuff, and people like, you know, Shelley, why don't you get into acting? You have a great personality. Now, you know, fighting self-esteem issues my whole entire life, I'm sitting there thinking, not knowing really what acting was about, and I'm like, well, I'm not pretty enough. I'm kind of ugly. So there I am sitting thinking that, you know, people like, we're going to smack you in the head. You have this personality in this, there's a name, my martial arts nickname, Pojo Avos, and which means white rice. And I go, you know, you get this name as a baptism in capoeira from your instructor. And I'm like, all right, I know I'm white, Caveira, but white rice? That's boring. He's laughing, going, oh, Poja, you're going to find out, you know, like what it means. The real name behind my martial arts nickname that was given to me by my instructor, what it meant was humble clown. Because I'm so crazy and stuff, but, you know, just having respect. So that's how I was baptized with that name, Poja Arrows. It means humble clown. So people like, you know, Shelley, you really have this great personality. Go and get into acting. I says, okay, so I started doing the dinner theater, Jory and Marie's Italian Calming Wedding. And I was a crazy bridemaid, crazy, crazy, crazy bridemaid with the big, huge hair, doing shows and stuff. And then I got involved in this other show called The Clatterbing. I created the regular character, the original character, Mia Midori, with big, huge hair. And I'm always playing a bridesmaid, never a bride. But I never wanted to do the kissing scenes. Then I started getting into films. And the thing is, I was so, like, so physically fit at the time, and when I went to auditions, people would automatically give me the sides that were the hookers and stuff like that and stuff, and I go, that's not what I want to do. And they're like, you should take that as a compliment because you're really ripped. And I'm going, it says, no, that's not what I want to do. I'm not going to take my clothes off for, you know, to do a film pot. I want to do a little bit of martial arts. Now, the thing is, it's just basic and stuff, but even go on for auditions, and it's like, there I was. I'm 5'8", you know, and it's like even guys that go, look, you know, if it's for a guy, I'll put a sock on my pants, my hair up, and a cap, and I'll do an audition like that. No one wanted to give me a chance. So here I was. Once again, the guy that just called in, Director Z, when I told him, when I met him, I was telling him, I said, you know, no one wants to give me a chance. I says, you know, and Sarah, my self-esteem was really going really low because it's like they wanted to give me the hooker scenes and the slut scenes, and there I was training in capoeira. And I was like, they're like, take it as a compliment. I go, that is not what I want to do. So when I talked to Director Z, Big Brother Z, and I told him, he goes, okay. So he had a nice surprise for me, and he says, you're going to fight me in a scene. Now, Z is, you know, he's lost a lot of weight, but, you know, big guy. Now I'm all like, yay! And then all of a sudden I go, you want me to fight you? And I nearly pooped my pants because here I am, a beginner, and he knows different martial arts. And he goes, okay. We went over to Fort Williams to his fight scene. Now, I'm wrapped up like a ninja. I can't see anything. My hair's sticking out. No, it's cold. I don't know. Z likes to film in the cold. I don't know. Maybe he doesn't. Mind. I don't think he does, but he has to film in the cold. So I'm fighting Z. I'm fighting Brother Z. And it's like, he's like, come on, Shelly, hit me. And I'm like, no. I don't want to hit you. No, no, no. He's like, Shelly, this is what you want. Come on and hit me. So it's like I'm going at him. And it's like people, if you see the scene, I actually have it on the Facebook page somewhere. But if you do see it, people are like, well, that's the worst fight scene. But you don't understand. That was my first fight scene I ever done that was caught on film. And he's saying, come at me. And he's like, come at me with the nunchucks. And there I'm swinging. It's like you don't see it in the scene, but he actually picks me up and throws me, and I bounce off the ground. I'm like, whoa! And I stand up. I'm walking like I'm drunk. And he's like, come on, hit me, Shelly. And I'm like, oh. And he goes, this is what you wanted. This is what you get. You're doing the fight scene. Come on. So 2.5 hours, there I am. It's cold. The ground is cold. People are walking their dogs. On top of that, there's poop everywhere from the dog, you know, from people walking the dog. It's hot poop. He throws me. My head lands in a dog poop. So I've got dog poop in my hair doing this fight scene with the ninja thing on, and I'm like, I've got snot coming out of my nose, and it's like my mouth is all wet because it's the winter, and I'm like sweating. I smell so bad. So there I am. And that's, like, one of the first fight things I did. I mean, I got on other film sets, The Game Plan with The Rock. And there's actually, it was just chaotic that day, but it was kind of crazy. And it's like, I would work on the set with The Rock, and it's like, just getting into other things and just feeling blessed. I just did this film, Essential Realism, where this is the year of the passing. It's the anniversary of the passing of Bruce Lee and Brandon Lee, which I do hope. I don't know, I've been trying to talk to photographers about doing a thing of the crow, and it seems like a lot of the photographers around here, they just want to do nude photography. And here I am just looking to do, you know, to honor Brandon Lee, and I tried taking pictures. I mean, I can't take pictures of myself, so I was like, okay. So in a film, I got to play a zombie. I did the makeup and everything of the zombie character, but the one character, I actually got a Kato costume. And if you don't know who Kato is, it has to do with a character Bruce Lee did. So I got this special costume, the mask, the hat and stuff, and I was with a bunch of ninjas and stuff like that, and some of the ninjas didn't show up in the scene, and I was like, okay, I'm going to really get cut out of the scene. So I'm sitting there, and all the other guys, they're all flipping and everything like that. I'm sitting there, and says, man, I'm not going to be in the scene. And some ninjas didn't show up, And the guys go like this on the film set. They're going, okay, Boss Ninja, come on. I didn't know exactly what they said to me. Okay, face them. So the heroes, I'm facing the heroes. And I'm like, what is going on? It's like, well, you're going to be Boss Ninja. And I'm like, what? And this is, yeah, you're going to fight this one, this one, this one. And I'm going, what? And I was so nervous. I'm holding my bow staff there. And they're like, you're going to fight all the superheroes. And I'm like, what? And I nearly pooped my pants on the film set because everybody else was practicing. This was right on the set. See, this is my strong point. I get nervous when doing it sometimes, but the thing is, like, a lot of things are scripted, but the thing is, I have great things with comedy improv. They're like, Shelly, you're going to do this right now. It took a few takes, but it's kind of like, you know, knocking out four people and, you know, working with it. And here I am with a weapon, and I'm going, oh, my dear God, this is no practice, and this is right now on the set. And I'm holding a bow staff. I go, this is a weapon. You know, a bow staff is a big, huge stick, but it's designed, you know, I mean, if you got to look it up if you don't know what it is. And so I'm on set, and I'm going, oh, my dear God. I says, there's a couple with people with martial arts experience, but I was like, shoot, I don't want to hit someone. So I'm trying to be careful. I think I did hit someone in the chin with it, but they were aware of it. And it's like, you know, I was able to honor Bruce Lee in the Kato costume. It was a fast scene, but I was like, I did it. I says, this year, I got to wear a Kato costume in a film, and it was a small scene, but it's dedicated to Bruce Lee. So it's like things that I want to do when I keep giving back, because once again, you know, it's just, I just think it's such a necessity to get this building. I can't even begin to explain it in words. I just think it's a real necessity, and I try in my own way, because when you don't have money, it's really, really hard to accomplish things. Not that things can't be done, but it seems like when you have a whole bunch of money, you get things done, boom, 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 boom. But things with films, I know it's a hard work. Like, working in independent films, and, you know, I'm not some big, huge movie star. I've done some acting, a little bit of stunts. You know, I'm just, just trying, and, you know, to get funds, have a bigger voice, and get my radio show syndicated. That would be an awesome dream. My dream to have my radio show syndicated. I never thought I'd be doing my radio show this far. I think I've done up to 110, 115 shows. People think I'm nuts because I just kept doing shows. I don't know why I kept doing it, because I thought I was going to be doing it for a couple weeks. I thought I was going to be doing the show for a couple months. And then the next thing you know, it's over a year I'm doing this radio show. So it must be something. I feel like, you know, for once in my life, I'm not failing. I'm doing something where I'm succeeding it. This is the first time in my life, my radio show, I'm not failing. And it's a beautiful feeling. And to be able to talk, I don't know, I think I have the gift of gab, but it's not, I'm not boring. I'm sitting here, I have to entertain people for like 2 hours and keep talking and talking and talking when there's no guests on the show. But let me tell you, when I have guests on my show, it is awesome, because it's just like having a conversation. And let me say, you guys aren't going to believe the guests. I'm going to be making an announcement after the show for my Sunday guest. And once again, Stephen Lambert, he's my ninja pal. He's going to be on my show in the future. There's someone else. I can't, you know, someone else who's in the works. Can't say it yet till it's yes. And I know in the future, I have to find out with his dad, because young dragon, I can't wait. I'm going to be asking this kid for some tips on your nunchucks, because, you know, I handle it pretty good, but young dragon, I know he likes nunchucks. So I'm going to have to ask him some tips on how not to hit myself in the head. He's handled some sorts, and it's like, you know, this is so cool. This kid is so awesome. It's like, I can't help it. I think the kid's cute, cool. And, you know, it's something, especially his name is Young Dragon, which he was dubbed by Don Dragon. I can't even talk. How many more minutes left to my show? Oh, my gosh. It is not like almost time to go. Man, do I have the gift of gab. I'm going to sleep good tonight, but everybody, you know, thank you for tuning in. To my supporters out there, thank you so much for the support. And I'm just praying for syndication. I'm praying for funds, for many different things. But you people out there, please give to help out, go to Falling for the Stars, that film page. Talk to John Hagner. You know, you can, he has drawings he's done, like I said, check it out. Awesome. You know, if you guys can help out just to get that building from the museum, like I said, it's not just for past, not just the past stunt community. It's for the present and for the future generation. It's to leave a landmark that I think is important in the film community, the stunt world, the stunt men and women. They're important to me. They're in my heart, and I'm repping the stunt community till the day I'm not here anymore. You know, maybe I'll have another life and come back. But, you know, from the bottom of my heart, I love the stunt community. And some way, somehow, I'm going to get that building. There's many things I'm going to do, and, you know, I'm praying to get my radio show syndicated, you know, funds for the film I'm part of with director Zia Spelk here. This stuff's a lot of hard work, and I know tonight, after talking this much, has it really been 2 hours? Come on now. This is what happens. As soon as I start my show, it's over before you know it. And I'm just like, I'm busted. I'm like, I'm done. I'm done just like burnt toast. And, you know, anybody that's in the chat room, I salute you. I bow to anybody that's in the chat room. Hamid, hi. I didn't even realize. I was like, I just got to type hello to all. Hello to all. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening. I didn't realize everybody was in the chat room. Like I said, I have had everything popped up. So, everybody, thank you for visiting me in the chat room. Thank you so much. Jackie Chan, my little co-host for Ball Kitty, she's ready for night-night. Thank you so much, everyone, for listening to my show from the bottom of my heart. Hi, Hamid. You got to tell the young dragon. I got to have him on my show, and I'll be watching his video. He's so awesome. He's so cool. It's like, and his name is the dragon. And everyone, you know, Don Wilson, he will be a guest on my show. He's already called in my show because he's like, I had Cheryl on my stunt woman that actually was on my show. James Wilson calls in, and then Don the Dragon Wilson calls in my show, and he's like, oh, I can't have my brother out to me. And I'm like, just sitting there laughing. Well, everyone, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart. And just like in martial arts, I know you guys can't say it, I bow to everyone, you know, and in martial arts, the way they do is a thankful and a sign of respect, I bow. I know this is radio, but, you know, like it says, the stunt community, you guys are in my heart, you know, just thank you so much. And to my listeners, thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, and just keep, you know, keep the stunt people in mind, because they are a big part of the films. And everyone, thank you so much. I can't wait for Sunday. I am so super pumped. Remember, my shows are Sundays, noon to 2, Standard Eastern Time, Wednesday nights, 9 p.m. to 11, Standard Eastern Time. Thank you all for joining in. And remember, everyone out there that has a dream, you are as good as anybody else. And me, you know, coming from, you know, background, me, a rocky chick girl from Boston, Massachusetts, with this funny accent, if I can do it, you can do it too. So everyone, take care. Thank you for tuning in. Have a good night. Bye-bye.